بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 28 من شهر صفر 1446 الموافق للثاني من شهر سبتمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في الأليين So بإذن واحد الأحد Today إن شاء الله We continue with the second chapter of this book الفصل الثاني Which is about أقسام أشراط الساعة The different types of the signs of the day of judgment يقول المؤلف رحمه الله تنقسم أشراط الساعة إلى قسمين. The signs of the day of judgment are divided into two. أشراط صغرى وأشراط كبرى. أشراط صغرى these are the minor signs of the day of judgment. And you have أشراط كبرى these are the major signs of the day of judgment. أشراط صغرى وهي التي تتقدم الساعة بأزمان متطاولة. These are the signs that comes before the day of judgment, and it comes a bit longer time. I mean, long time before the day of judgment happened. So the gap between the أشراط الساعة الصغرى and the ساعة is a bit longer. وتكون من نوع المعتاد. And this is very important information. As he says, usually these signs of the day of judgment, the minor, they are something that that are not strange to the people. Very normal. Yeah. Within the norm. Okay? They are not abnormal. كقبض العلم. Just like knowledge is missing. Is it abnormal? It's not abnormal. This is very normal. وظهور الجهل. The ignorance to be rampant in the community. وشرب الخمر, drinking wine. These are things which are very normal in the community. والتطاول في البنية, and having people making high buildings. ونحوها, and they are like. وقد يظهر بعضها مصاحبا للأشراط الكبرى أو بعدها. يعني some of these signs of the day of judgment, the minor, might happen together with the major signs or even after the major signs. There are minor signs which will take place after the major signs. He will talk about these ones, inshallah, later. So this is the first one, right? أشراط صغرى. The second one is أشراط كبرى. وهي الأمور العظام التي تظهر قرب قيام الساعة. These are big matters that will happen very near, in the time that is very near to the day of judgment. وتكون غير معتادة, معتادة الوقوع. And usually it will be amongst the kind of things which are not within the norm. Okay? They are abnormal. كظهور الدجال. Is it abnormal? Yes. Because we never saw Dajjal and a creature like this. It's not normal. ونزول عيسى بن مريم. عيسى بن مريم coming down from the heavens. It's not normal. وخروج يأجوج وماجوج. And having يأجوج وماجوج coming out to the people. وطلوع الشمس من مغربها. And sun rising from the west. These are all things which are not normal to us. So these are the major signs of the day of judgment. They usually happen near the day of judgment. وقسم بعض العلماء أشراط الساعة من حيث ظهورها إلى ثلاثة أقسام. So some scholars divided it in terms of, you know, happening into three groups. يعني whether they happened or they don't happen, some scholars divided the أشراط الساعة into three types. قسم ظهر وانقضى. The first is the one that already happened and also finished. وقسم ظهر ولا يزال يتتابع ويكثر. And another one is one that happens, and it is still happening. Yeah, لا يزال يتتابع ويكثر. It is still happening. It increasing also at the same time. وقسم لم يظهر إلى الآن. And some did not happen. You get it?
So,
this is
major and minor.
Major and minor. Regardless of their nature, it just looking at the what you call the side of happening or not happening. Did it happen or not? Existing or not existing. So the one that happened, and we have the one that happened and finished already. And we have those that happened and they're still happening. And we have the one that we are waiting for them from both minor and the major signs. فَأَمَّا الْقِسْمَانِ الْأَوَّلَانِ فَهُمَا مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ الصُّغْرَى. So the first two groups, they have to be from the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, because the major signs, none of them took place yet. أَمَّا الْقِسْمُ الثَّالِثِ فَيَشْتَرِكُ فِيهِ الْأَشْرَاطُ الْكُبْرَى وَبَعْضُ الْأَشْرَاطِ الصُّغْرَى. The last one is the one that is mixture of both major and the minor signs. So the most famous categorization is the one that says major and minor. That's it. But in terms of happening, you can also divide it into these three categories. قال الفصل الثالث. The third chapter is about أشراط الساعة الصغرى. So now, inshallah, we'll begin our journey with the signs of the Day of Judgment. So the first one is the minor signs of the Day of Judgment. And there are many, 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 many. We'll take the vast majority of our explanation will be on these. قال أشراط الساعة الصغرى التي ذكرها العلماء كثيرة جدا. وقد ذكرت هنا منها ما ثبت بالسنة أنه من أشراط الساعة الصغرى. He says the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, there are a lot. A lot, a lot. The one that the scholars mentioned, there are so many. He said, I just focus in my book on that which is established by the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get it? He said, I focus on that which is established. Otherwise, there are so many. Some of them, you cannot even prove them through the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وتركت ما لم يثبت في حدود علمي القاصر. He says, whatever is not established by the Sunnah, I kept it aside. But you should know that this is based on my limited knowledge. I love this. Yeah, because he might claim that something is not because he doesn't see, but other scholars saw it, which he did not reach that. That's why he said, whatever my limited knowledge it tells me that it is not part of the Sunnah, I just kept it aside. وذلك بعد النظر في هذه الأحاديث ومعرفة كلام العلماء عليها. So after I do my own research, looking into those ahadith, and also checking the statement of the scholars concerning those ahadith, I make that conclusion. Yeah, I check about the صحة من حيث الصحة والضعف. I check about the صحة and the ضعف, meaning which one is authentic, which one is weak. So I look into the statement of the scholars to verify first, to confirm the authentic one and to confirm the non-authentic one I rejected. أو قد يكون هناك من الأشراط ما هو ثابت ولم أطلع على حديث ثابت فيه. He says, sometimes there might be a sign of the Day of Judgment, but I did not see it. It is there written by some scholars, but I did not manage to see it, you know. And that's true, yeah. Yeah, knowledge is so big. Even if you read a book so many times, you might miss something sometimes. قال وقد سردت هذه الأشراط بدون ترتيب. And he says, I placed these أشراط الساعة in my book without maintaining any order. Okay, without maintaining any order to say that, oh yeah, well, this one comes first and then. قال لأنني لم أطلع على حديث أو أحاديث تنص على ترتيبها. So because I couldn't see any hadith or a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says the Ashrat al-Sa'a al-Sughra, they are like this. This one first, and then this one, and then that one. So I couldn't see. Yet, so I just use my own arrangement. فذكرت أولا ما نص العلماء على أنه قد ظهر وانتهى. So what I did is I tried to identify those signs which the scholars mentioned that they already happened and finished. So I started with them. You get it? And this is very appropriate, right? Since they already happened, he said, I tried to locate and identify those ones that happened and finished, so I started with them. ثم تحريت في ذكري لباقي الأشراط بتقديم ما تقتضي الحوادث تقديمه على غيره. This is the only thing I managed to order, to put in a specific position. Other than that, I tried my best to put them according to the events that took place in our life. Yeah. So I just look into the history. Yeah, this thing happened and this sign happened in this place, where I put it before the other one. Not because I see a hadith telling me this one comes first, this one comes, but I just look at the hawaris. Exactly, inshallah. قال فمثلا ظهور الفتن مقدم على قبض العلم. Say for instance, the appearance of fitan, you know, trials and fitna that happens amongst the Muslim, he said, I put it first. Because I believe it came before the disappearance of knowledge. Yeah, because it happened during the time of the companions, and knowledge is there. You know. لأن الفتن ظهرت في أصل الصحابة. Because it happened in the time of the companions. وقدمت قتال الروم على القسطنطينيين. He said, I also started with the fighting, the battle between the Romans and the conquest of the Constantinople. لأن الخبر جاء بذلك. Because this one I can find hadith that says this one comes first. Then he will talk about that, inshallah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked which ballot will be conquered first, Rumia or Constantinia. You know, so he mentioned the Rumia first before the Constantinia. قال وجعلت فتح القسطنطينية مقدما على قتال اليهود. But the fatḥ, the conquest of Constantinia, I made it. I put it first before the battle between the Muslims and the Jews. في زمن عيسى عليه السلام, in the time of Isa عليه السلام. لأن فتحها قبل ظهور الدجال. Because the fatḥ al-Qustantiniyya is going to happen before the appearance of Dajjal. You get it? And Isa will never come before Dajjal. You know. ونزول عيسى بن مريم يكون بعد ظهور الدجال. And Isa comes first before the Dajjal. Isa comes after the Dajjal. Dajjal first and then Isa عليه السلام. وهكذا. So all of these things that he is saying, either he found some hadith that says, yeah, this one comes first, or event that took place in this life, you know, which led him to believe. And also, we also will agree with him that, this comes first before the other one. قال وبعض الأشراط يكتذي ذكره في الأخير. And some of the signs of the Day of Judgment, I believe out of my reading that it should be mentioned at last, so I kept it until then. لأنه لا يظهر إلا بعد الأشراط الكبرى, because it will not happen until the happening of the major signs of the Day of Judgment. مثل هدم الكعبة على يد الحبشة. Just like destruction of the Kaaba. This سويقتين, right? From Habasha, right? So he said, this one will happen in the last. So I kept it until that moment. وظهور الريح التي تقبض أرواح المؤمنين. And also the wind that will come and take the soul and the life of the good people. This one also will come the last. Yeah, because until the time of Isa, after Ajuj and Majuj, after the rising of the sun from the west, and the beast, still good people are there, you know. So I kept this to discuss it in the last part of the Ashraat al-Sa'ah surah. قال ومما ينبغي أن يعلم أن كثيرا من أشراط الساعة قد ظهرت مباديها من أهل الصحابة رضي الله عنه. He said it is very important for a student of knowledge to take note on the fact that many signs of the Day of Judgment already started to happen in the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? So it's just an extension. We just see an extension. وهي في ازدياد, so it kept increasing. ثم صارت تكثر في بعض الأماكن دون بعض. And sometimes you see it in some places you don't see it. Some places more, some places is little. والذي يعقبه قيام الساعة هو استحكام ذلك. So it started to happen, right? Just a sign comes, you know, kept on increasing. So before the Day of Judgment, it will be firmly established. You will see the full version of it. You get it? So just the beginning started to take place. And it will keep on increasing like this, and it kept increasing until the time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that it will come out completely, then you will see the full version of that which is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is good, actually. It gives hope, right? Yeah, because those people who think that no hope, you know, because we are very near, so they become unproductive. They should know this. That these things already there, but they kept increasing slowly, you know. Again, so that means just keep working. Be productive in your life. You don't know when. Now it's 1,400 years. You don't know how long are we going to stay more before we see these major signs. Allahu a'lam. So don't be lazy, just keep moving, you know. كما قال عمر, he says, move, be productive, فإن في الأمر متسع. So we still have time. قال فيكون مثلا قبض العلم لا يقابله إلا الجهل الصرف. And so now, the knowledge, is it taken? Yes. And you will see, inshallah, very nice and beautiful statement from Dhahabi in this book. He quoted that statement about this thing. You know, when Dhahabi was talking about his time, that knowledge already gone. Allahu alam, if you come to our time, what is he going to say? So, but until now we have scholars. We have students of knowledge. We have scholars. We have knowledge is around, but yeah, a lot of it has been gone. Only a few people left who are holding upon the correct one. But before the Day of Judgment, this is when you will see the complete ignorance. Nobody knows anything. And there will be a time even Fatiha also cannot be read by anyone. Even the one you have in your chest is already been taken by Allah. So that's a complete ignorance. When is it going to happen? Near the Day of Judgment. قال ولا يمنع من ذلك وجود طائفة من أهل العلم. So, and at the same time, knowledge has been taken, but you still have some scholars. لأنهم لا يكونون حينئذ لا يكونون حينئذ مغمورين في أهل الجهل. But the real scholars, up to date, real one, in many places, they disappear in the ocean of ignorant people. Because you don't recognize which one. You can trust and who has actually the knowledge, especially our time. قال وقس عليه غيره من أشراط الساعة. So make qiyas upon this element mentioned by the Sheikh. قال ومما ينبغي التنبيه عليه أيضا أن بعض الناس يفهم من كون الشيء من أشراط الساعة أنه محظور وممنوع. You know, this is also good. Two things you have to know. Being a sign of the Day of Judgment doesn't necessarily mean haram. And it doesn't necessarily mean halal. Yet it might be a sign of the Day of Judgment, but it's not haram. It might be a sign of the Day of Judgment, it's not halal. Get it? Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ will just mention something that will happen. It doesn't mean legal. When he talks about the safar, It's a time will come, a woman will travel from this to that. He's not talking about hukum, he's talking about time will come like this. قال وهذه القاعدة غير مسلمة فإنه ليس كل ما أخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم بكونه من علامات الساعة يكون محرما مذموما. Not everything the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said it is a sign of the day of judgment. شرط من أشراط الساعة. And at the same time it is haram and blameworthy. Says no. And that's true. فإن تطاول الرؤى في البنية وفشو المال. Having high buildings, is it haram?
No.
But the Prophet also mentioned it as a sign of the Day of Judgment. فشو المال. Having abundance of wealth, is it haram? No. As long as the person gets it from the halal way, it's not haram. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم make it من أشراط الساعة. وكونه 50 امرأة لهن قيم واحد ليس بحرام بلا شك. Having 60 sisters under the custody of one person, is it haram?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Marriage?
Not marriage, custody.
Okay, just yes.
Yeah, not marriage. Marriage, of course. Of course, marriage is haram. Even 5 is haram. But he's talking about custody. Yeah. Is it haram?
Yes. No.
No, it's not haram. Yeah. So this is just telling you that the ratio, the population of the sisters is going to be way bigger than the population of the brothers. He will talk about some of the possible causes to this in the future, inshallah. Qala. Qala wa innama hadhihi alamat. والعلامة لا اشترط فيها شيء من ذلك. And these are all just signs. And it is not a condition for a sign of the Day of Judgment to be محرم. بل يكون بالخير والشر والمباح والمحرم والواجب وغيره. والله أعلم. Sometimes the sign could be done through halal, wajib or something like that. قال والآن حان الشروع في ذكر أشراط الساعة الصغرى وهي كما يلي. So he says, after all of this introduction, now is the time for us to start dealing with the signs of the Day of Judgment. So he started with the first one. Yeah, in this ummah, this is the first one. You know. قال بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Number one, بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of the Day of Judgment. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to the humankind, you know, being appointed and assigned to be the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first sign of the Day of Judgment in this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is the first sign of the Day of Judgment. أخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن بعثه دليل على قرب قيام الساعة وأنه نبي الساعة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said his coming, his appointment to be a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last and the final Rasul, is an evidence that shows that the Day of Judgment is near. وأنه نبي الساعة, and he is the prophet of the Day of Judgment. ففي الحديث عن سهل رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت أنا والساعة كهتين ويشير بإصبعه يمدهما. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me together with the Day of Judgment like this. And he pointed at the two fingers, the index and والتي تليها السبابة والوسطى. You know, he put them, make them straight. يمدهما means straighten. وعن أنس. So this is a hadith of Sahal, right? He says, so what does that mean? They are connected to each other, right? وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت أنا والساعة كهاتين قال وضم السبابة والوسطى. أنس also like Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi said, the Prophet said, I was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with the Day of Judgment like this. And he put together the sababa, this is sababa, or sabaha, wal wusta, there's a middle finger. So he put them together. Wa an Qais ibn Abi Hazim, an Abi Hubay, an Abi Jubayr, marufu'an, bu'ithtu fi nasmi sa'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith of Abi Jubayrah that he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, bu'ithtu fi nasmi sa'a. Aw, nasami as-sa'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me fi nasmi sa'a. Nasmi sa'a, either it is taken from the word an-naseem. Naseem is the first part of the wind when it emerges. The first part that comes. So what does that mean? The first sign of the early sign of the Day of Judgment. Aw an-nasam, nasama, taken from the word nasama. Nasama is the soul. Meaning, he's telling us that I am sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the generation which the Day of Judgment will happen. Amongst the generation which the Day of Judgment will happen in them. Well, they're still alive. Meaning, you have generations being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last generation which the Awa will happen with them, I am among that generation. So, whatever interpretation you give this Naseem or Nasim, it means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes together with the Day of Judgment. قَالَ فَأَوَّلُ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ بِئِثَةُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The first sign of the Day of Judgment is the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهُوَ النَّبِيُّ الْأَخِيرُ. He is the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يَلِيهِ نَبِيٌّ أَخْرٌ. There is no way for another prophet to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّمَا تَلِيهِ الْقِيَامَةِ. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of having another messenger to come and follow Rasulullah, the Qiyamah will come. وَإِنَّمَا تَلِيهِ الْقِيَامَةِ كَمَا يَلِي السَّبَّابَ وَالْوُسْطَى. It's like the way the Sababa and the Wusta, they are connected to each other, following each other. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to the Day of Judgment. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِصْبَعٌ. There is no finger between the two. Meaning they are connected to each other. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that. So he came. The hour means, it means that the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that the hour is on the way. أَوْ كَمَا يَفْضُلُ أو يفضل إحداهما يفضل إحداهما الأخرى ويدل على ذلك رواية الترمذي بعث أنا والساعة كهاتين وأشار أبو داود بالسبابة الوسطى فما فضل إحداهما على الأخرى أخرى. He says, or either they're connected to each other, or it just the gap between them is just the gap between the two in terms of size. This one is bigger than the other one. So that small amount, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was indicating to be the gap or the distance between him and the Day of Judgment. And this is what is understood from the narration of Tirmidhi. قال بعثت أنا والساعة كهاتين وأشار أبو داود بالسبب الوسطى فما فضل أحدهما على الأخرى وفي رواية مسلم قال شعبة وسمعت قتادة يقول في قصصه كفضل إحداهما على الأخرى. That's the interpretation of the first one. شعبة says كفضل إحداهما على الأخرى, just like the what he called the size or the difference between the sababa and the wusta in terms of size. قال فلا أدري أذكره أنا أنس أو قاله قتادة. He says, I'm not sure this interpretation, is it from Anas or from Qatada, the Tabi? Is it from Anas ibn Malik or from Qatada? So whatever the case might be, it's also a possible interpretation. Yeah, but the first one is more connected and more applicable than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أنا والساعة كهاتين, he's referring to them being connected to each other. His arrival means that the hour is on the way. قال القرطبي أولها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه نبي آخر الزمان. See, the first sign of the day of judgment is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because he is the prophet of the last time. آخر الزمان, آخر الزمان means the الزمان الأخير. وقد بعث وليس بينه وبين القيامة نبي. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent him at a time where there is no any other prophet between him and the day of judgment. That's why you call him نبي آخر الزمان. قال تعالى ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any one of you. It's all the process of rejection of the tabanni al-muharram, you know, adoption of a child and attributing the child to you at the same time. This is prohibited. You can adopt a child but attribute him to his parent, not to yourself. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is very one of you, like the Rasulullah. But he is Rasulullah wa khatam al-nabiyyin, and the seal of the prophets. Yeah. And this is, subhanAllah, one of the uniqueness of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wa khatam al-nabiyyin. Because according to our system, al-sunnah wal-jama'ah, you cannot be a Rasul without being a Nabi. Yeah. So if Nubuwa is closed, that means Risala is closed automatically. You know, because you cannot be a Rasul without being a Nabi first. So if you close the Nubuwa, that means Risala is closed automatically. But if you close the Risala, Nubuwa can take place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Muhammad is Khatim al-Nabiyyin. That means no Nabi, no Rasul. Yeah? No Nabi, no Rasul. So that Mirza, Ghulam, Elijah, Muhammad, and all of those guys that lost their brain will not come and tell us, we're not saying we are messengers. We're not saying we are Rasul. And Ahmad Amara also, the meditation guy, he also says Risala is not yet closed. You still have Rasul. And you also can be a Rasul of yourself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiya. Take a little bit more. الثاني موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the first is the arrival of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The second one is موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال من أشراط الساعة موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ففي الحديث عن عوف بن مالك الأشجعي رضي الله عنه. In the hadith of عوف بن مالك الأشجعي, may Allah سبحانه وتعالى be pleased with him. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعدد ستا بين يدي الساعة. Count six things that will take place before the day of judgment. Ordered sitan bayna yaday sa'ah. Count six things that will take place before the day of judgment. And wadakara minha mawti, my death. Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this as a sign of the day of judgment. Sheikh will keep on quoting from this hadith from time to time. Yeah. He mentioned five things. Let's see if we can remember them. Qala mawti thumma fathu bayt al-maqdis. The conquest of the Bayt al-Maqdis. Thumma istifadatul mal. The wealth will be everywhere. Thumma mutanun ya'khudhu fikum kaqwa'as al-ghanam. And then the mutan, this is the ta'un. Ta'un amwas that happens, which will be snatching you. Kaqwa'as al-ghanam. Yeah, the plague. And then what else? لا ما ذكر الدجال في حديث أو في المالك ما ذكر الدجال. Who remember the hadith of Abu Malik al-Ashja'i? I mentioned four. You guys should mention two. Ordered sitan bayna yaday sa'ah. Yes.
False prophets.
ماذا ذكر فوز بروفيت؟ اوكي يس فتح قسطنطين ذكرت هذا ثم فتح قسطنطين هذا الحديث الثاني. I mentioned this, there's a second one he mentioned. Okay, I got the hadith. He says order sitting by Nadir Sa'ah. You should count 16 that will happen before the day of judgment. Mauti, my death. Thumma fatwa Baitul Maqdis.
Yeah, not Constantine.
Not Constantine, Baitul Maqdis. Not Constantine. Okay, shukran. Qala thumma fatwa Baitul Maqdis. And then fatwa Baitul Maqdis. Thumma mutanun ya'khudhu fikum kaqwa'as al-ghanam. Thumma istifadat al-mal. Hatta yu'ata al-rajul minhu. مئة دينار فيظل ساخطا ثم فتنة لا يبقى بيت من العرب. And then the fitna that will happen, yeah, inshallah he will also talk about this fitna. What exactly is this? Because he says the fitna that will happen and there will be no house among the houses of the Arabs except it goes in. Some said this is satellites and the dush and yeah, we will come and see what fitna is he talking about exactly. ثم هودنة تكون بينكم وبين بني الأصفر. So these are the last two. And then the treaty between you and the بني الأصفر.
بني الأصفر؟
أصفر. These are the Europeans, the Romans. He will be quoting from this hadith, inshallah. Every place he got evidence, he will quote a part of it. So we have six, right? موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, فتح بيت المقدس, طاعون, Amwas, istifadatul mal, wealth being in abundance, and also the fitna that will get into every house of the Arab, and then the hudna, the treaty between the Muslims and the Banu al-Asfar, inshallah. So I decided to mention the hadith so that the component of the hadith will remain in the brain. In the future, whenever you hear hadith Auf ibn Malik, you already know that this is the hadith. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "U'udud sittan bayna yaday sa'ah, mawti." Count 16 that will happen before the day of judgment. And the first one is mawti, my death. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Faqad kana mawti al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min a'azami al-masa'ib allati waqa'at ala al-muslimin. Faqad azlamat al-dunya fu'yun al-sahabati radiyallahu anhum indama mata alayhi salam. He said the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of the greatest musibah that happens to the humankind. You get it? It happened to the Muslimin. The dunya became dark in the eyes of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he died. قال أنس بن مالك لما مات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل لما كان اليوم الذي دخل فيه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة أضاء منها كل شيء. He said when the day the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered Medina arrived, he said everything became bright. We see things differently. You see light in Medina. سبحان الله. فلما كان اليوم الذي مات فيه أظلم منها كل شيء. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, the Medina became dark. قال وما نفضنا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأيدي وإنا لفي دفنه حتى أنكرنا قلوبنا. سبحان الله. He said we did not even clean our hand from the dust after burying the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We still burying رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, but we started seeing ourselves like we're not familiar with ourselves. The scholar said what he meant is the things change. They started questioning what exactly is going on. Is everything okay or that there is a great change? قال ابن حجر قال ابن حجر يريد أنهم وجدوها تغيرت أما عهدوه في حياتي. So he says right after the demise of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم they just see Medina differently. Medina changed immediately. It's like they're totally in different place. Ya Allah. Al-ulfatu wa-safa wa-riqa, all of those, soft and mercy and good life, they started to feel that some change is taking place in this regard, in their heart. لِفُقْدَانِ مَا كَانَ يَمُدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ التَّعْلِيمُ وَالتَّأْدِيبِ because they know that after this, they already lost that adab and the knowledge they used to get from the Prophet ﷺ directly. So what happens after he died? قَالَ فَبِمَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنْقَطَعَ الْوَحْيُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. After he died, then wahy was gone. Okay? This is very clear, right? Although it is not clear to some. Yeah, there says some who حَدَّثَنِي قَلْبِي أَنْ رَبِّيَّنِ. They have some secret wahy, but well, we know according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, wahy after the demise of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كما في جواب أم أيمن لأبي بكر وعمر. أم أيمن, she was replying Abu Bakr and Umar in the مزارها بعد موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. They visited her after the demise of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما انتهى إليها, when they reached her, bucket, she cried when she sees them. فقال لها, they told her, ما يبكيك, why are you crying? ما عند الله خير لرسوله, why do you cry? Do you forget that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is better for him? فقالت ما أبكي ألا أكون أعلم أن ما عند الله خير لرسوله. She said, I'm not crying because of not knowing that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is better for him. She said, I'm not crying because of this, I already know that. ولكني أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع من السماء. He said, I'm just crying because I know after his demise, the wahy will not come anymore. فأيجتهما على البكاء فجعلا يبكيان معها. So she provoked their cry, so they also started crying with her. SubhanAllah. فقد مات صلى الله عليه وسلم كما يموت الناس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died a normal death, like anybody else. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى لم يكتب الخلود في هذه الحياة الدنيا لأحد من الخلق. Because Allah never wrote in this life, you know, الخلود for somebody. There's a system. بل هي دار ممر. In this dunya, nobody lives in this dunya and he has the خلود. Okay? بل هي دار ممر لا دار مقر. In the Akhirah, in the heavens, there are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and all things that Allah created, and He made them in the way they will not perish at all. But in this dunya, what we know is that everyone who exists here will die. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَاتَ. Allah says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدَ أَفَإِنْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. We never gave life of eternity for anyone before you. أَفَإِنْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. If you die, are they going to stay and remain without dying? كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we test you with both خير and شر. And sometimes the test with خير is worse and stronger than the test with شر. You know, person might be able to pass the test with evil and hardship and difficulty, but when the prosperity comes, it's very tough for a person to pass that test. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَوْنَ. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of you are coming back to me. إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي تُبَيِّنُ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ حَقٌ. We have so many ayat that shows that death is true. وأن كل نفس ذائقة الموت حتى لو كان سيد الخلق وإمام المتقين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And every soul shall taste death, even if this soul is the best among the creation and the leader of the creation, محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان موته كما قال القرطبي أول أمر دهم الإسلام. Qurtubi says, the first issue that attack, you know, I mean, fitna and the test that attack the Muslims is the death of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم بعده موت عمر. And then the death of Umar رضي الله عنه. فبموت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انقطع الوحي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, وحي stopped. These are all the statements of Qurtubi. وماتت النبوة. Nubuwa is gone. Very clear. Yeah? Gone. وكان أول ظهور الشر بارتداد العرب. And after he died, the first spark of the shar took place, which is the Arabs apostating, right? Going out of Islam. وغير ذلك, and many other things. وكان أول انقطاع الخير. And the first sign of خير being cut. وأول نقصانه and deficiency that take place in the خير. That's why Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه said, قال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه فلتحدثن حوادث من بعده تؤنى به جوانح جوانح وصدور. It is issues and big matters are going to happen after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that really trouble the chest and the ribs. جوانح الإنسان, these are the ribs of a person. وقال صفية بنت عبد المطلب رضي الله عنها, صفية بنت عبد المطلب said, لأمرك ما أبكي النبي لفقده, لأمرك ما أبكي النبي لفقده, ولكن ما أخشى من الحرج آتيها. She said, I'm not crying because of missing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم only, but what I know that the missing of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the sign that Al-Harj is going to take place in the people. What is Al-Harj? Al-Qatl. You know, Al-Harj means Al-Qatl. Killing, murder. And subhanAllah, that's what is taking place up to this moment. So I guess this is the best place to stop, inshaAllah. In the next class, we go to the Fathu Bayti Al-Maqdis. InshaAllah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yutahhirahu min yadi al-arjas al-yahud. Shukran, Adam. Started going to Siberia. So let's stop here, inshallah. If there is any question, let's leave with that. Yes, Yusuf. Wa alaykum as-salam, Yusuf. Ameen wa fiikum ajma'in.
Understanding a hadith, do we understand it from the linguistic?
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Say that. And if you take the word, the Arabic, I mean the Al-Mahna al-Arab, the way the Arabs understood it, to explain the hadith, or we have to also find action from the Sahaba that explain it.
We combine both. As a student of knowledge, he should always expand his reason to see if there is any commentary given by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Tabi'un. Because they are closer to the correct understanding than us, for sure. What they know, we don't know. So we take their understanding, we add on top of ours. You get it? If they have something, then we favor theirs more than ours. We don't claim that we got it and they don't get it. Yeah, we hear a lot, we discover this, we discover this, they're all jokes. Every single thing that the Prophet ﷺ left was understood by those generations. They understood it clearly, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Since Quran is something that ajaibu la tanqadi, amazing things of the Quran will never finish, then we will keep on discovering things, you know, until the Day of Judgment. So what do? We add on top of this. We keep adding. That one and this one also. That I intended both. But a student of knowledge shouldn't depend on his understanding without referring to the companions to see how did they understand it. You get it? Companions and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'un. If you couldn't find, then he just take the literal meaning he got from the hadith. Inshallah. Yes, what's up? No, come in, up. Inshallah.
Did it happen our times or we're waiting for it?
Wallahu alam. No, I'm not waiting for it, but we're not waiting for it, but it will happen. Yeah. Sure. Do you see your finger? You see the way you see your finger and you believe it does exist, is it's gonna happen. People will see it like that. Sure. But it did not happen yet. Most likely to happen after the battle. because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we will cooperate with the Jews and the Christians to fight an enemy. So most likely the references to that cooperation.
Yeah,
that's why he said Al-Malham al-Kubra. That's why he says Fayaghdirun. And then they will deceive afterwards. So this is what happened in that after the Malham al-Kubra. You know. So that one is the time of Al-Mahdi. Yeah.
So during the Christians. So where did the Jews come from?
Who are the Christians?
The Christians.
Who are the Rome?
Claim the yani taksit ma'na amanhum al-Nasara, who are the Christians?
Mm-hmm.
Who claim Christianity?
Where are they coming from? Inshallah, when we reach that, سنقتله بحثا. Inshallah. To my knowledge, both of them are going to sign an agreement with the Muslimin to fight an enemy. Yeah. Just sabr. Yeah.
Regarding the conquest of Bayt al-Maqdis, how do we know it's going to be the last? Because we have lost it and recaptured it a few times now. So how do we know when this sign is actually happening, that it is the final conquest and we will hold Bayt al-Maqdis until Yawm al-Qiyamah?
This one already happened, the conquest of Bayt al-Maqdis.
Considered already to be happened.
Already happened, yeah, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. That's why is the next, if you remember, he said he will start with those signs that already happened. Maut in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatwa Bayt al-Maqdis, it happens in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. That was the intention, bi-idhnillah. And then it was taken from us. Then Salahuddin took it. And inshallah, it will come back again, bidallah, and never to be taken again, inshallah.
Yeah. How do we respond to those who mention, like they cast doubt on the authenticity of the reports of the Prophet? Because when they say that, okay, my coming and the coming of the Day of Judgment is like this, and then they say 1400 years have passed. So do we say, like, okay, it was just an indication that he was the first and then the rest will follow the signs? Because if you say like this, then it's like coming tomorrow. Something of that sort.
No, we should tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first place says to us, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. We see too long. Yeah, that's 1,000. They say, oh, that's very long. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's very close. You know, and in comparison to what passed, most likely, we will not have the same years of the dunya, of years to come yet. Yeah. So we should tell them that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who called it like that. He says it's too close, although we, according to our capacity, we see it as very long. And so we are waiting for those signs to happen which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And as long as we don't see them, that means we are still having time. You know?
So we're saying the context is of the dunya that has already passed, as well as Allah's conception of time.
I know, but it's not ours. Because when he says like this, connected to each other, and he doesn't mention specifically how many years between. And also, since they are not the same, they're coming at the same time. How long is that period of time? He did not mention. So we'll just keep it like that. And he did not say, I am Sa'a, and the Sa'a is me. So there's two different things. One comes and then the other one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention how long will be, you know, the gap between me and the Day of Judgment. But it says very close, meaning there will be no any other prophet, no any other generation, the same generation of my ummah, then the Day of Judgment will happen. You know. Allahumma ameen. The best thing, Zahid, is the issue of al-ghayb. Submission, because if we do submit, then all of these questions they will never ask. So if somebody comes, I think maybe we need to focus on how to convince him to believe in al-ghayb and not to get involved too much in what is beyond our seeing. Because if he accepts this, then he will never trouble you that much, you know. Yeah.
So, Sister Shafa asks,
you cancel Hamad, he's going to get annoyed with you, right?
May Allah preserve you.
And you too.
A sister wants to understand regarding khul and asks if this is true. Khula have not been met, rather it is only an agreement and a promise, and the husband has not uttered the word of khula, or the qadi has not yet decreed it, then she is still his and he can be intimate with her. Sister wants to know when is khul really finalized and what if husband doesn't agree or utter the khul.
When the husband granted her the khul, when he granted her the khul, khalas. Any statement he used to indicate that yes, now she is mukhala, case closed. Or if he refused, and at that time the judge has the right to pass the khul. If the judge cut off the marriage, then it goes, But other than that, we just wait for the husband. If he doesn't do, and there is no court decision, she is still his wife. What is between them, she's happy, she's not happy, there's something else. We deal with it separately. But Islamically, is she still a wife? Yes, she's still a wife,
Another question from Sister Shafa. Last class we mentioned the living and the dead, and we said Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said Qur'an is for the living. Can we explain what did he mean, and can rewards of our Qur'an go to the living?
Most of the scholars who use it for this, they're talking about Qur'an is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to benefit from it, read, get the guidance from it, and practice it, and the rewards will come for you. You're doing it for yourself. You're not reading Qur'an for somebody else. You're reading Qur'an for yourself. He said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it for. That's why I said this topic is a very long topic and I will not finish. Even amongst the Salafis, it's a very big debate. Great scholars also have an opinion which you would not be happy with, and they are great, great, great scholars of ours. So at the same time, a Muslim should just focus on what was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you don't need to follow all of these controversies. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his family members, lost this, lost that, lost his companions, lost so many. What did he do to address the matter? Just do that one. Case closed, and nobody will come and tell you you're right or you're wrong. And I wish Muslims are expert in this, but we're expert in disagreement and taking shubuhat in our life. So that's why I believe the best approach in all of these matters is to try to see what was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just do that one. No need to engage in a debate. Who agrees, who doesn't agree? Yeah, the one who agrees, let him do. Yeah. But being on the safe side is always good.
A question from Sister Mourni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it true that one who commits namima cannot smell paradise? Namima is a greater sin than a ghiba?
No. Does it? Question finished?
Is it true that one who commits namima cannot smell paradise? And is namima a greater sin than ghibah?
Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة نمام أو قتات. Yeah. We leave it in the way it is. This is a hadith al-wa'id. We don't go deeper in interpretation. We just tell an-namam, tell him Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة نمام. You get it? What is namima? As-sa'yu bayna an-nasi lil ifsad baynahum. Trying to make a problem between two people who are friends to each other, to separate between them. That's a namima. Namam is one of the major sins that lead to hell. Is it bigger than the ghibah? Allahu alam. Allahu alam. If you look at every sin the Prophet ﷺ mentioned as a major sin, look at the nature of the sin and the punishment that the person will receive on the day of judgment is too bad, Even the ghibah. One word of ghibah destroys the ocean. So what will happen to the righteous deed of that person? Because on the day of judgment, Allah will take from his deed and pay the person that he talked against. How much is he going to take? Allahu alam. So if he took everything from his deed, where does he go? According to what we know, is hell, unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon him. Sisters who are not wearing hijab, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will never even smell paradise. Although from 40 years before you reach paradise, you smell paradise. They will never smell paradise. Are they kuffar?
No.
But if they don't smell paradise, can they go in?
They'll have to take a detour.
I want us to understand the hadith literally. Somebody will never smell paradise. What does that mean? Never go into paradise. Who is the person that would never go to paradise? Kafir. You get it? That's the reason why the scholar said hadith al-wa'id, leave them in the way they are. Yeah, we know this sister, if she believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she will never remain in hell. And there is a possibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to forgive her if he wish, if she dies without repentance. You get it? But this hadith, we keep it in the way it is. Yeah, because the purpose is to scare those people who are not doing the right thing. Because if she sees that, oh, I will never smell paradise, yeah, she's going to get scared, inshallah, and reflect. But if you tell her, no, hey, you'll go to hell for a while. There are some people who will tell you, okay, then as long as we go to paradise in the end, it's okay, let's enjoy life. So you're not helping her. Yeah, so this explanation, we keep it in the classrooms. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَيْكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Whoever went back to eating riba, they will go to hell and remain there forever. You tell the one who was eating riba, there is some modification here. Eating riba is a major sin, not a kufr. So if you go to hell, you will come out. One day you will come out. What does that mean? Let's go ahead. We will make tawbah later, inshallah. Yeah, but if he hears that, no way for him to. One of our scholars said he gave a lecture. Somebody came to him. I said, that person, his hand is shaking. He told him, he said, Sheikh, yani, ana min ahli an-nar. He said, it means that I'm going to hell forever. So the Sheikh told him, no, relax. Babu Tawbah, the door to repent is always there. Yeah, cools him down. So you can see, he hears those ahadith, and it makes him think and reflect. Anyway, so that's how we should deal with these nusus. And the Imam, the Prophet said, would not go to paradise. If somebody asks us, is there any possibility for him to go to paradise? I say, Rasulullah said, and the Imam la yadkhulul jannah, will not go to paradise. Sheikh, is there anything? Rasulullah said, and the Imam la yadkhulul jannah. Don't add. Just say, Rasulullah said, and the Imam la yadkhulul jannah. Later on, when he makes tawbah, he stops, then you sit down with him and tell him, yeah, he should come to classes. Actually, this hadith is like this. May Allah grant us good. Okay. Next.
A question from Zim. I don't know if it's he's asking or we have someone else. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh, in our hometown, a lot of masajid which have graves that are being worshipped, where there is a graveyard nearby. Also, we have some masajid who are upon the right aqidah, but no graveyard near this masjid. And a person in our community, when a person dies in our community, there is a mahallun system which assigns that if a person from a certain area dies, he has to be buried and prayed janazah near a certain masjid. And this masjid has a grave that is worshipped right in front of the mihrab. To go against the system is so difficult. So if a close relative of us dies, what should we do? Can we pray in such masajid where behind the mihrab is the grave that is being worshipped? Can we have an exception to pray in such a place for situations where a close relative like a father or brother dies?
Any place that the Prophet ﷺ said we shouldn't pray in, for instance, al-qubur, the scholars and the fuqaha says prayer is permissible in any place except in the maqbara and the hammam. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why if there is a place where they have grave in the place and you're going to pray in that one, then you have to avoid it. no matter what. And also praying to the grave. Rasulullah said, so manaha an salat ila al-qubur, praying to the graves. So a person should try his best to do everything possible to miss those events and to look for a place where he knows that his prayer will be accepted. Inshallah.
Regarding the burial of the body, the body can be buried in that cemetery?
No, Muslims, when he died, he should be buried in the Muslim cemeteries. Rasulullah was supposed to be taken to Baqiyya. But then there is a text that says they should, a prophet should be buried in the place where he died. That's why they kept him in that place. Otherwise, any companion, they don't bury people in the houses. You know, this is just something that people initiated later, which create a lot of issues also. And it creates problems also for the people who want to use the house in the future. You know, they have to keep on taking care of the grave. You know, every time they renovate it, they have to make sure they do this and that. So it doesn't make any sense. A person, when he died, he should let people to take him to the graveyard where everyone is there. You know, so if a person make a wasiyah, bury me in this place, it's better not to execute that wasiyah. Just take him to the graveyard, which is allocated by the community. Mm. Everyone is there, just he should also go to that place. Even if he's sheikh, he's this and that. You know. Allah grant us good.
But isn't, sorry to interrupt, Adam. Sheikh, but janazah, you can pray in the maqbara. You can pray janazah in the graveyard. Isn't it difficult?
Look at the question. When I die, you should do this and that, right? Yeah. This type of wasiyah you shouldn't execute at all. Although we can take the what do you call? The dead body and go to the graveyard. We don't pray in the kubur. We pray in a place we put him in. We don't pray on the kubur. But if you have a masjid which is built upon the qabr, some shilin. The scholar said, we look at the one that comes first. If the qabr comes first, the masjid has to go. Qabr has to remain. If the masjid is first and then the qabr comes, the qabr has to go. Masjid should remain. Like that.
We dig up the corpse?
Yeah, if the masjid is there, then somebody comes and bury himself in the masjid, then we have to remove it and take him to the grave.
Question from Sister Shafa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sheikh, we mentioned that not every sign of the Day of Judgment is haram or halal, mm-hmm. liked or disliked. How do we know which ones fall under what category?
Inshallah, Shafa, as long as we are still alive studying this book, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, whenever we come to a sign, we will mention, yeah, inshallah. But don't worry, there are things which, according to the Nusus, we know they're halal. But then another text makes them as a sign of the Day of Judgment. So it doesn't change that old one. It's just an alama that when you see this happening, that means the Day of Judgment is near, you know.
Question from Shafa. Could we explain what is Hadith al-Wa'id? How is it distinguished?
No, Hadith al-Wa'id, these are the Hadith that are talking about Wa'id. You have al-Wa'id, you have Wa'id. Al-Wa'id is a promise to give good. Al-Wa'id is a promise to punish with evil, you know, threaten, you know, warning. And that's why we have this al-Wa'id wal-Wa'id, you know. So Hadith al-Wa'id, the Hadith which are containing, you know, punishment or threatening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we keep them in the way they are. Whoever killed himself will go to hell forever and ever. Whoever killed a person intentionally will go to hell forever and ever. Whoever takes riba will go to hell forever and ever. The one who does this will never go to paradise. We keep them in the way they are with no a lot of explanation. In the classrooms, yes, you can go to the explanation to put them together. But when you're talking to the awam, no. Just say the hadith and leave it with no sharf, you know.
Continuation of Mazen's question. Mm-hmm. So, Sheikh, where should we pray the janazah if a close relative dies in such circumstances? Can we pray near the grave at the time of the burial, not towards the grave, facing the qibla?
Yeah, inshallah. If you find yourself in a circumstance, you can just put the face the qibla and pray. Or come late. Inshallah. Allah grant us good.
Sister Hazlisa, sorry, Sister Morni asks, if a sister admits she does namima,
repents, but she kept on doing it. How should we advise this person to bring her to realization to stop completely?
There are those hadiths that should remember that death can come at any time. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. She stopped to avoid getting into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the future.
Those are all the questions from the Zoom.
Yeah, Hamad started to just... Inshallah, please don't die. Try to live until that time, Muhammad. Inshallah. Because I know he talks about this. Yeah. Then we will discuss that more, bi-idhnillah. So try live, go to Japan and drink orange every morning. Zakla. Inshallah, then we will talk about that in bi-idhnillah. Okay, Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah reward you and put barakah in your life. Thank you very much for coming. I thought I'm just going to... even Waqas did not tell me he's coming. I thought it's only Hamad and... where is... Hazik and Adam. There's only three people will come, and then now one of the people who will come is missing. Tell him he owes us. May Allah love you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.